Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a few days, as Christmas itself will approach, the stores will eventually go quiet, and people will be gathered in churches, but also with family and friends to celebrate. But celebrate what? In this season of the year, there are many atheists who sing. But what do they sing? Jolly old St. Nicholas, deck the halls with boughs of holly. They might be filled with all kinds of merriment because this is a time when everyone is in a holiday mood, however they might define what a holiday mood is. The shoppers rush home with their treasures. Family, friends, parties, end of the year get-togethers. It's a busy time, but eventually the stores will go quiet as people gather with family and friends. Yes, unbelievers have a great time at Christmas. And then there are also people that we call C and E, Christians. C and E, Christmas and Easter. They never darken a church except on Christmas Day and Easter. And often they might hear a bit of a reprimand as they get rapped on the knuckles by the pastor. You know, we don't see you enough in church. And perhaps they gain a little bit of pleasure. At least we've been noticed. And now here we are. We warm the pew. But we'll sing. While angels watch their flocks by night, O come all ye faithful, joy to the world. They'll mumble their way through the traditional Christmas carols. But we're not here tonight to scold C and E members. We're not here to scold them tonight. For this is a day that belongs to God's elect people. This is our day. The birth of Christ brings joy and gladness and happiness and great light. For this, his birth is the incarnation. God the Son takes on a real human nature as he remains God, but becomes also real man, so that he might participate in real flesh and blood with his brothers and sisters and become for us a real sympathetic high priest who, as true God and true man, is able to take away our sins and suffer the just punishment of God against sin. And how we need that. How we need that. But who also is able to enter in through his humanity into the misery and the suffering and the pain that we now experience in our world because of sin. We are here tonight to sing the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I suppose if we were trying to put ourselves into those shepherds' sandals on that night, night has fallen around Bethlehem. The flock was taken care of and put in for the night. The shepherds themselves were probably settling in themselves for the night. It's quiet and calm, except perhaps from a few noises from the sheep. But then they are visited by an angel from God who announces the greatest birth in all of history. There is born to you in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Anointed One, Christ the Lord. The stunned shepherds listen to the news with fear because they are being confronted with the glory of God. Now, we use that phrase, God's glory, the glory of God, but that would have meant for them blinding light, blinding heavenly light. The glory of the Lord is the radiance of his brilliance, like the rays that come from the sun, only brighter. The glory of the Lord lit up the sky in this appearance to these lowly shepherds, just as that pillar of fire many centuries before had led the way for the people of God as they went through the wilderness out of Egypt to the promised land. And in this light, there begins to appear with this angel a multitude, a big number, a large number of other angels, the heavenly choir praising God. The scene must have left these shepherds breathless, unable to think and speak for a moment, let alone to sing, certainly terrified, absolutely terrified. But sing and rejoice and be glad, we must. For the angels in heaven have heard the news from the angel of the Lord, and they react with a mighty chorus, glory to God, glory to God in the highest heavens, and then on earth, peace, shalom, to those with whom he is pleased. Angelic choirs and multitudes of cherubim, seraphim, break forth into singing, because on earth, these shepherds are too stunned initially to join in with the angelic choir, shaking in fear at the moment they receive this great announcement. Christ the Savior is born. Heaven's joy is announced on the earth that figures on business as usual. Well, who is singing the angel's song? Well, of course, the angels are. But can anyone else join in the chorus? Is anyone invited, called upon, maybe even commanded to join in this song? The song itself tells us who are singing the angel's chorus. Glory to God in the highest points to the fact that above us is a reality that our eyes cannot see. It's called heaven, the highest reality. It's foreign to us now, but not to those who have passed on from this earth and now live in the very presence of God. You have to read passages in Revelation to gain a sense of how Christians who have been taken from this life are now gathered around the throne of the Lamb. Glory and honor and blessing belong to Christ. Around God there's blazing light that only angels can inhabit safely. And now when Jesus is born, the volume and the joy of heaven break forth, shouting glory. Heaven echoes and then re-echoes with loud joy because God has sent his Son into this world according to his good pleasure, his electing purposes, his gracious plan that he conceived before the heavens and the earth were ever created, but now is being realized in time and in space. But the angel's song speaks of earth as well. Heaven and earth, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Well, heaven and earth, those are the two poles of our own reality. Think of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. This is created reality. And now that earth also is called upon to take part in this joy. You see, earth is the place for people of God's choice. And this is where peace, shalom, will be experienced. Now, we translate the word shalom as peace, but for us, far too often, peace means, oh, no war. But that's a negative definition. Yes, no war, but peace is something positive. It is well-being. It is wholeness. It is fullness. It is health and prosperity, it's all of the blessings of God wrapped into one idea, shalom. It's God's perfection for heaven and earth, for mankind, so that God's people may dwell in safety and in prosperity. Peace. This world needs it. Think of Gaza. Think of Sudan. Think of Nigeria. Think of Ukraine. And we've only touched the surface of those places in this world where our sinfulness, our eagerness to put down those who differ from us, peace is so needed in this world today. Well, who is singing of glory and peace? Who wants it? Who needs it? Who has looked in the mirror and seen in their own soul an emptiness that craves something much better? Now, here's where I suppose I have to break down some notions about Christmas, because notice the wording in verses 13 and 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Not goodwill to men. That's kind of a bland notion, isn't it? But to those with whom he is pleased. The original speaks of God's peace belonging to men of God's goodwill. The angels sing praises of glory to the only God in heaven and of peace to those people who are his elect, the ones whom God favors, not because they deserve to be favored. For Jesus didn't come for the righteous, he came for sinners. Jesus didn't come for those who are healthy, he came for those who are sick. And therefore, the coming of Christ is not a reward for all the accomplishments that we have made, not at all. Christmas joy for God's people. Peace for the ones on this planet who are the apple of his eye. And all because of the coming into our flesh, incarnation of the Son of God. Christ is bringing heavenly peace and joy for those people, drawn from every tribe, country, language, culture in this world today. People whose names are written down in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and whose names are inscribed in that book with blood. The blood of Christ, that blood that cannot be erased. So who is singing the angel's song? The songs that are sung at this season of the year are heard in heaven with the angels. Are those songs sung by those who believe, who know, and who love Jesus Christ? Today, around the world, the poor and the poor in spirit are singing great glory to God. Jesus is born. The future might look bleak because we so often hear that, well, the poor are just going to get poorer, the rich are just going to get richer, and therefore the nations that are have not will start to take from the nations that are haves, and we will only have conflict and struggle, war. And yet the Lord remembers the poor. Let no one oppress those who are poor, for the Lord is their defender. Christmas is for the poor and poor in spirit, because Jesus was born to bring peace and well-being to those poor who cry out to him, for he hears their voice. He knows what they're going through. The poor whom God favors are singing at Christmas of God's great glory, because they, according to Christ's own promise, blessed are the poor, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. It belongs to them. He was rich, but for your sake, he laid aside his riches, became poor, that you might experience the riches of God. Today, around the world, the people who usually mourn or who are in great sorrow for many different reasons are singing glory to God. Christ is born. And he was born to bring peace to his favored ones, the oil of gladness, the garland of celebration and not ashes, Isaiah 61. He will not crush the bruised reed. He will not snuff out the smoldering wicks. You know, they tell us that the Christmas season is a time of great joy for many people, but it's also a time of great pain for others. Loneliness, depression. We are told the suicide rate goes up around Christmas. Because many people realize that the hollowness of all of this Christmas hoopla, and who of us has not experienced a bit of a letdown after Christmas is over? Like, is that all there is? Is that all there is to a Christmas season? But brothers and sisters, remember what St. Augustine wrote. O Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. True rest is not in the acquisition of more things, more toys, more clothes, more whatever. True, lasting peace comes when we take rest in God, in Christ alone. And therefore, those who mourn, those who are depressed and discouraged, those who are disturbed, the anxious worriers, take heart, take comfort, take hope. The birth of Christ is for you, because Christ was born to bring peace shalom to the mourners and to bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus came to dry every tear from your eyes. No more sadness. The Lord comforts and blesses the mourners. They are singing glory to God, not because of their circumstances. The circumstances may be quite bleak, but they sing because the great shepherd has been born. For those who comfort us in every sorrow, the one who picks up the lambs into his arms, and to anyone who comes to him, he will in no way cast them out. Come to him. This child is, in fact, a sympathetic high priest, fully able to sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. Today, around the world, the persecuted and imprisoned Christians are singing glory to God. Christ is born. He was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Again, Isaiah 61. The angel songs ringing out from the mouths of those who have been whipped and beaten, those who have been electrically shocked, drugged, overworked, and underfed, those in some instances who have seen their own children killed before their eyes, all for the sake of the gospel and for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says in Psalm 109 that the persecuted are able to rejoice, again, not because of their circumstances, no, but because they know that God stands by them. This is why throughout all the history of the church, Christians have gone to their deaths with a song on their lips. In fact, during the religious wars in France, Christians would sing Psalm 68 as they were about to die. Let God arise and by his might put all his enemies to flight. So that finally the authorities said, cut out their tongues. We don't want to listen to these Protestants singing psalms to God as we kill them. He brings peace to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Christ is born. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born for you. Christians sing of God's glory because they have a great reward in heaven, because though they may be persecuted on earth, Christians enter glory, singing the angel's song, just like God's people sang after they came through the Red Sea. Exodus 15. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider cast into the sea. Today, around the world, children who are favored by God are singing glory to him. Jesus is born. Oh, yes, Christmas is a time where the children are very much involved and very excited. But never fail, teachers, parents, moms and dads, to make sure they understand the reason for real and lasting joy. Jesus became a child. He passed through every phase of our life and development so that he could be a perfectly suited high priest who understands. Let the children sing the angel's song. But remember that Jesus himself said that except we all become like children, we all must become like children. Simple joys and straightforward faith, we won't see the kingdom of heaven. To the children of God belongs the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loves the little children. He takes them into his arms. Today, around the world, the ones favored by God who are sick and blind and ailing and aging and feeble and lame, they are singing glory to God. Jesus is born. Jesus is that Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings, the one who is able to speak the word and we are healed, the one where people would say, if I only touch the hem of his garment. And they touched the hem of his garment, not because there was magical power in the hem of his garment, but because they came to Jesus. That faith brought them to the Savior. Your faith has saved you, not because faith has any power in itself. Faith saves because it brings you to Jesus, the great physician who knows our bodies and our souls so well. He touches, he speaks the word, and we are healed. And brothers and sisters, you know, I don't know what the doctor's last report to you is. I know what it was for me, but I give you this promise based on God's word. Someday we will all have bodies that will be made like Christ's own glorious body. Now, I don't understand the biology of that, but I know that the struggles that I have and the struggles that you may have, physically, spiritually, mentally, someday that will be taken away. Why? Because Christ is born for you. Today, around the world, the humble and the meek are singing glory to God. Jesus is born. These are the people who realize their own great limitations in the presence of God. They're the ones who have broken and contrite spirits because whether it hit them right between the eyes or whether perhaps more gently, they wake up one day, they look into the mirror of the law of God and they say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I can't point to someone else. They have to deal with that question themselves, but I am the sinner. Like the publican in Luke 18, can't even look to heaven. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. They know the torment of wrestling with the devil over sin in their life. They feel unworthy of God's favor, but they are singing by faith. God's humble and meek people will inherit the earth, the whole earth. There's their joy. In the promises of God, in the reality of a Savior who was born and then later on went to a cross to drink the cup of God's wrath to the very dregs. That sin that we confess, that sin that hits us square in the face and deep in our heart, that sin has been taken away by Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is all just a part of what it means when angels say to shepherds, today is born for you in the city, that village of Bethlehem, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Christ himself was meek. Learn from me, I am meek and humble of heart. He gives you his peace, inviting those with heavy burdens to come to him. For his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Today, around the world, those who are searching for answers are finding them in Jesus, born of Mary. He is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God's righteousness in the flesh. Many people are starving for righteousness. I heard, as I was driving to church tonight, there was a program on public radio, and one commentator is saying, the American public have come to just accept the fact that our political leaders are corrupt. We just accept that. It doesn't shock us anymore. They are corrupt. Well, I can't speak for every leader. All I know is this. Jesus is not corrupt. Perfect king. Perfect justice, perfect righteousness is the order of his kingdom. And when we are citizens of his kingdom, we follow in that. We love the truth that opens up before our eyes in his word. So education is going to be different now because of Jesus being born. Political life must be different because Jesus the King is the real King. Business life, working life, it all transforms. Because Jesus claims every square inch, every square kilometer, every square centimeter of this creation belongs to him. Who is singing the angel's song? God's children, God's people, God's elect are singing. The saints who pass into glory are singing this song. You are singing this song, for Jesus was born for you. For you! For you! For you, he's born. Today in the village of Bethlehem is born for you the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those who are the object of God's love and grace and favor. Let us pray.